Blog Talk Radio.
Rockers in Recovery Media is dedicated to carrying the message of addiction recovery through music, news, events, and festivals taking place within and not limited to the clean and sober community.
Hey, good morning, John Hollis. Waking up blessed right here on Rockers in Recovery Radio. You can check us out at rockersinrecovery.com. More information on us and also on the show. You can also go to Rockers in Recovery on Facebook and LinkedIn and a bunch of other places that you can find us on social media. If you go to rockersinrecovery.com, you'll find at the top right-hand corner our social media platforms that you can reach us at. Also want to take the time to thank SoberMap app for this morning's show. And making, of course, Rockers in Recovery, Waking Up Blessed radio show a success by supporting it. And we want to let you know about them. You can go to the App Store or Google Play and download SoberMap app. And that gives you the ability to find 12-step meetings in your area. And they're doing a lot of changes to the platform and updating it and upgrading it and doing some other things in August. So lots of cool stuff from your feedback that you have given over the last year. That is going to help SoberMap app to be a better app for everybody involved to be able to help a lot of people. So check it out, SoberMap app. Download it at Google Play and at the iTunes. So check this out. We got a great day ahead of us. Any day I wake up, I'm waking up blessed. You know, something I've come to understand that my recovery is not based on what's going on in the moment, because if it was, I'd be out of my mind. My recovery is based on being able to handle each situation as it comes and giving all glory to God in any situation and, you know, just having faith that whatever is going to happen, it's going to be in God's world and in God's time. You know, life is fragile, and all I can tell you is when you're out there and, you know, where I know I can get excited and be mad and have resentments and, you know, I have to, you know, of course, work on that stuff daily with my recovery and, of course, with 12 steps. And those things, if they fester, they get ugly. I can tell you life is short. You know, one of the things that we've been dealing with as a family unit, myself and my family, is, of course, Lori was diagnosed with breast cancer in April 6th. And, of course, we went through the whole lumpectomy a month ago and went to the surgeon yesterday and found out that they didn't get it all. And tomorrow morning she's back into the hospital for a second operation, for a second lumpectomy. And you know something? You got to give it to God. You know, I reached out to friends. I reached out to people. I didn't know a lot of, you know, the report that came back. And I reached out to some friends. And they're looking at it, several different people. And, you know, just getting feedback. And, you know, letting God be in charge. And, you know, if I don't know something, ask. And, you know, that has been the ability only through my recovery program. Because, you know, I was one of those classic know-it-alls. Today, at best, I should be sitting in a corner, and people should be throwing Twinkies at me. I should have one of those leather helmets on, and I shouldn't be anything other than, you know, just a waste product. By God's grace, I get to sit here this morning, be able to share what's going on with me, but most importantly, be able to share with you that waking up blessed is, in any situation, really, really happening in my life and in recovery. I'm going to bring on another guy. His name is Joe Antonelli. Joe is a great musician, great drummer, and a really good friend. And he's somebody that if you listen to his message this morning and you understand that we all get to wake up blessed, you're going to see that, you know, anybody can do this. I don't care who you are. If you're on the fence, you know, maybe you're out on a relapse. Maybe you're a family member that's going to listen. You know, it can and it will take place, but you have to do some work to do that. So I'm going to get Joe on the line. We're going to talk about how he wakes up blessed and goes through his day. Joe, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, John. How you doing,
yeah,
buddy?
Yeah. Good, man. Hey, listen, you know, it's relative to doing everything that you need to do in your recovery to make sure that, you know, that comes first, because without that, nothing else in life is going to be any good.
Yeah, I can understand where that would be much more pertinent to you at the moment than maybe it would have been, you know, several months ago. You know, you have all our blessings here from my home, and Carrie, myself, you know, Lori's in our prayers and all that. And, you know, you're a perfect example of what we talk about, what this, what the steps can bring you to, and where you can be by opening up, you know, your relationship with your higher power and giving over that control, you know, coming from a classic know-it-all myself, you know. I knew everything, 5 years ago, and I had the helmet on because I was on the short bus, and, you know, I was pretty much smashing my head into any hard object that came my way, so I guess I needed a helmet, you know, but it's amazing, you know, how little, you know, control we actually have and how much control we think we have, you know, so... When, you know, you come on the radio today, we spoke last night, and I even suggested to you, due to the news that you got, I guess, was yesterday or the day before, about Lori having to go back in, I suggested maybe pushing this off, and you said, no, you know, this message has to get out, and, you know, this is it. I mean, this is the battlefield, you know, of life, so to speak. I mean, you're in it right now. And, you know, to be able to do what you're doing, coming on the radio, sharing a message, you know, without a tone of self-pity or, you know, any of the things that bring our vibrations down, you know, self-pity and anger and resentment and all that stuff, but with love and light and, you know, and God, you know, we are going to get through it. And, you know, if you can do that, and show that to everybody else. I mean, what an example that sets for the rest of us, honestly, you know. It's a lot easier to say when it comes down to doing it. You know, it's like, oh, how am I going to do this? And, you know, we just do it. You know, we do it through our own I do what I do through my own relationship with my higher power. And every time I start to step away from that, I start to feel, you know, my energy decrease and, you know, things start to bother me a lot and whatever. And I realize, hey, I'm not doing my step work. I'm not doing, you know, the daily, you know, rituals that, you know, help me out. Even when I don't want to do it is when I have to do it the most. I'm very blessed this morning. My life is, you know, tremendous and it's, you know, every day has been wonderful. And I don't have anything to say with regard to, you know, health crisis or anything like that. But I do have a certain amount of distance I've put between myself and some family members and you know, some what I thought were close friends, you know, over the past couple of years, under the circumstances of it being, you know, a negative relationship. And, you know, sometimes it's very difficult, you know, because for me, it's very easy to get drawn back in, you know, and, you know, we're comfortable, you know, I'm comfortable in that, you know, resentful, you know, I'm ready for a fight, you know, I'm a street guy from Brooklyn, I like a fight, you know. You know why, John? Because I always win, you know. I don't like a fight if I lose, you know. I'm a winner. And that's the funny part. When I was out there, I think my idealism was like, I'm going to win. I'm going to fight and I'm going to win. You know, I was a winner, you know, with the helmet on my head on the short bus. I was a winner. And, you know, it's really kind of hysterical from this vantage point now, you know, at the time it was, you know, and you said at the opening of the show, if anybody's out there or anybody's back out there, think, you know, we have to look at it in a certain way. We have to say to ourselves, okay, you know, here's where I am. I've been here before. That much is clear, you know. I knew that for 30 years, you know, I was in that same place. That I knew. I didn't know which way to go to get out of it. So when I got sober, which is coming up, my journey started about 5 years ago, a little over 5 years. But when I really hit my stride is when I started the step work and started to do something different. And it was just different by definition. You know, getting up and you know, saying my prayers every morning and doing, you know, going to a meeting today, which I hadn't gone to before, and doing things, you know, my meditation process. And all these things were different because they weren't my typical thing that I would do for 30 years, which would be, you know, probably go have a drink or a bottle of wine will make me feel better. Two bottles of wine will make me feel even better than that. You know? And so when I started the process of it being just different, just in a different direction, things started to open up, and here I am 5 years later, and it's pretty open.
You know, Joe, I'm listening to what you're saying, and it's absolutely correct. And I think, you know, when you boil it down, if you're engaged and you've chosen in to the process, you have to have discipline. And I don't know about you, but I was never a disciplined person. Matter of fact, I was the furthest thing from it. Whatever was on my mind, I did. You know what I mean? There was no discipline about it. You know what I mean? I had no, you know, discipline whatsoever. Do you find that discipline in your life really helped you to get to where you're at today?
Well, yes. But to understand, I was disciplined in my undisciplinedness. In other words, where I was took a lot of practice also. Do you understand? To get to where I was took years and years of discipline. You know what I'm saying? Like, I woke up hungover. That didn't stop me. I was disciplined. I was going to drink again. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, that took, you know, you had to get up out of bed to go get that drink. You know what I mean? You had to, you know, you had to go do something today. And, you know, I was also full of the whole, you know, reward thing. Oh, I worked hard today. I'll drink today. Hey, look, it's a sunny day. I'll drink today. Hey, you know, man, it's a shitty day. It's raining out. I'll drink today. You know, I fought with my girl. I'll drink today. I had a great night with my girl. I'll drink today. You know, I mean, that takes discipline, man, to keep that consistency. You know, that I mean, I have to go cut the lawn today, and it's going to take discipline to get out there. But, you know, the reality of it is that, you know, I drank for 30 years, and I, you know, I felt very I guess satisfied in the sense that, like, you know, maybe I earned it, I worked hard, or I did something to earn it. And I believe that subconsciously, you know, those things had to be shaken out for me and, you know, replaced with something else, and my spiritual growth is what replaced that. And then the humility, to be humble, you know, before God, you know, is really what kicked it into gear for me, because, you know, before that, it really, I don't know, I didn't know the difference between being humble and humiliation, I think. You know, and, you know, walking around with a chip on your shoulder and trying, you know, to be angry enough to go out and behave badly, you know, was part of the process. And it's exhausting, man, you know. It's exhausting. You know, it's so now that your show is called Waking Up Blessed, and, you know, it's true. You know, it's really true, because, you know, every morning I wake up and I'm not hungover, and I'm getting older, and, you know, little aches and pains here and there, whatever, but I, you know, I work those out. But the reality of it is that I have tremendous energy, and, you know, I feel great, and, you know, my life has expanded tenfold. And even with some relationships that have fallen by the wayside or whatever, sometimes what people that you used to hang out with, or maybe some family members or whatever, you know, they kind of have you fit into, like, a mold, maybe, that you created yourself, and they don't want, they want that old person back, you know. And so now I've learned, I think I've just turned a new corner, and I've started to learn to recognize these things. Somebody told me after 5 years that's what was going to happen. Because before that, I didn't believe, you know, that was really it. And so I kind of kept those relationships going because, you know, obligations, you know, that kind of thing. And now, you know, I see it because, you know, some people, they just, I don't know, they're just angry and, you know, resentful and hurt, and they just want to hurt back. And, you know, unfortunately, with my history, you know, you try to hurt me, I try to hurt you back, and, then, you know, it never turns out. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't. So I haven't a lot of choice but to step away. And that growth for me, I think, was the hardest thing to really start to do. But it's very rewarding in the sense that I think that I've definitely helped myself, but I really think that I have no other opportunity to help other people than to show them by example, you know, hey, look, I don't need to, you can say whatever you want about me. I don't need to, you know, come back at you, you know, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's none of my business what you think, you know, that kind of thing. And
yeah.
when people hear that response from a guy like me, they don't know what to do. It's like a new weapon. It's like, you know, oh my God, Joe became a different kind of superhero now. What is this? You know, they don't know what to do. You know, when I'm
I heard it said so profoundly years ago was, you know, our people in our lives look at us, you know, if they look at us like a soda machine, when they push our button, they know they're going to get Coke. You know what
right.
I mean? So if they know yeah. they push our button, they're going to get Orange Crush. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they know those buttons and they know where they're at. And in a lot of cases, when we start to change, they push Coke and they get Swiss cheese. It really blows their mind.
You know, I'm experiencing the mind blowing right now, and everybody's running around with a piece of Swiss cheese going, what do I do now? What do I do now? It's like, you know, they don't know what to do. And then, you know, I'll get a call from somebody else who'll push the same button looking for the Orange Crush, and, you know, and they're going to get a marble or whatever, you know? And
yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, and it's funny because now I'm seeing this and, you know, my button is no smaller. I want to be able to point that out. In other words, anybody that's out there, I don't want you to think, you know, this is a magic trick where, you know, all of a sudden your sensitivities go away. That's not the case. You know, it's just being able to have a bigger bag of tools to handle these things that come down the pipe so that my button is gigantic. In other words, you can just hit it. It's like, you know, it's like a big flashing light. It looks like the thing on the Price is Right, like that big button on the Price is Right, you know, where you really can't miss it. It's like neon lights all around it, you know. And so, you know, when they push it now, it takes effort for me to put down that Swiss, you know, to send the Swiss cheese out instead of the Orange Crush. It's like, oh, here, my button is pushed. I'm going to surprise them now. I'm not going to. And then when you're able to do that, you say to yourself, hey, I felt accomplished my whole life and I had a drink. This feeling of accomplishment is a much greater thing because, A, it's better for me, and, B, it's really better for them. So, you know, either they're going to have to come up, you know, with the idea that they're walking around with Swiss cheese instead of the Orange Crush, which is not what they wanted, and maybe they'll realize, hey, there was a problem here, or go find another vending machine.
I like that.
Hopefully they don't look for another vending machine, and hopefully they, you know, realize, hey, look, there's a dynamic here, and, you know, people all around the world are going to react a certain way to how you push their buttons. And, you know, if you do it with love and support, it's a much better world, you know, out there. And ultimately, I think that, you know, this program and, you know, what we do as far as, you know, daily keeping, you know, my own personal inventory is huge. Whereas, you know, I'd probably be the first one to take somebody else's inventory as opposed to keeping my own and all of those kinds of cliches. So, you know, I mean, I'm not asking anybody to do anything, you know, not that they don't feel that is going to be good for them. But when people said to do this, you know, for me to do these things, it, you know, automatically it made sense to me. I said to myself, yeah, that sounds good. In other words, taking my own inventory. Now, when you actually have to do it, you know, in the fourth step and fifth, you know, it becomes, it was a really, really difficult thing. But the same way of putting down a boulder is difficult. In other words, you've been carrying this boulder, you know, for 30 years. And, you know, when you go to put it down, right before you put it down, it's at its heaviest. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can understand the analogy, but,
mm-hmm.
you know,
absolutely.
Right before you let it down. And then when you let it down, it's like, ah, you know, and you realize it was so heavy. And that's how it felt for me. And, you know, a drink or a drug never gave me that feeling. Never. You know, so, you know, that's what's out there for people, you know, if they're willing. that literally that much of a relief is out there. You know, that somebody once told me, you know, we carry around a trash bag and we start putting leaves in the trash bag, and you know, after, you know, a couple of days of carrying leaves, you know, it's you know, you can live with it. But if you're carrying that trash bag around for 30 years and you continue to put leaves in it, you know, after a while, it gets really heavy. It gets really heavy. So what we need
especially
to learn
the
to
wet
do,
leaves.
What I need, yeah, exactly. You know, what I needed to learn to do was to, you know, with the daily inventory, the prayer work, the step work, the meditation, you know, the interactions, daily interactions, what I needed to do was to be able to clean up the leaves as I go, let them go as I go, you know. But that initial putting down of the big giant bag of leaves or the big boulder, you know, that came in my fourth and fifth step. And, I mean, it's just miraculous. It really is. It's just miraculous. Nothing short. And, you know, what you're going through right now is a pretty big bag of leaves, man. You know, it's a pretty big bag of leaves. So, you know, that's the metaphor. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. To be able to put that down without having to swing it at somebody, you know, is the difference, you know. And, you know, to be there for Lori and to be there for your loved ones, you know, how much better are you going to be without that bag of leaves? You know what I mean? You know, mm-hmm. you're going to be able to carry, you know, something else for her without having that big bag of leaves attached to you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And you know something, hey, listen, trust me, through this process since April, there's been times where I've picked up the bag of leaves again, or I've let fear get in the way. I mean, here, listen, you know something, when you're dealing with something like this and fear hits you, and what, you know, what is the derivative of fear? Well, the next thing is anxiety. And, you know, if I don't understand, like, you know, I have that, like, warning bell that goes ding, ding in my head that says, wait a minute, man, you're in total fear. Or I don't have somebody in my life, you know, like you were saying, in fellowship or through spot check inventories or through, you know, daily inventories to understand that, hey, holy shit, you know, sometimes I was acting like this and now I – That gave me, you know, A gave me C, and I realized all of that stuff by going through the steps at the very beginning that, you know, hey, listen, I'm riddled with fear right now. How do we replace the fear? We go to faith and we, you know, ask God for help. We go to a meeting. We do the things that we need to do. And if we can't make a meeting, because there are certain times I can't make a meeting while we're going through this stuff. You know, I'm going to be at the hospital for 9 hours tomorrow. You know, the bottom line is, and I'm not going to be able to make a meeting. I can't just say, hey, listen, I'm going to go to a meeting. I'm going to stay there. But here's the good news. With technology, I can catch a meeting online. I can call somebody like yourself. There's other things that I can do to plug back in so I don't have to be riddled with fear for the day.
Yeah.
And pray.
People don't realize that hate is not the opposite of love. Fear is the opposite of love because hate comes from fear. And, you know, for me, to recognize the fear initially doesn't mean I'm able to handle it right away, you know. I mean, you know, but, you know, it'll get handled within the next – you know, 10 or 15 minutes, but I mean, that fear comes through me and I automatically recognize it. And that's another thing, you know, my sobriety brings me, you know, I don't think the clarity of, to be able to recognize, the fear was ever in my bag of tools, my box of tools. That was one of the tools I learned to have, just to recognize, like a pair of glasses, to see the fear. To feel it is one thing, and to react to it is one thing, and that's what I was doing. But now I see it, so it doesn't, and I feel the other reaction coming on. When you're numbed out, you know, with the substances and whatever, you know, this is the stuff that's taking away from that, you being able to realize. So, you know, that's another one of the joys that a clear mind kind of starts to bring you, where, you know, it takes a little while, you know, it takes a little while. But once you start to recognize it, it's just like anything else. I mean, you know, hey, it's raining out. You have to recognize that it's raining before you go grab the umbrella. And, you know, a lot of people are in pain. And, you know, I believe, my truest belief is that, you know, God gave us the pain because it's a gift. If you stepped on a nail today and you didn't have pain, or you didn't have the blood and the pain, you wouldn't know that you stepped on the nail, right? And then you'd walk around and it would get infected, it would get in your blood, and then you'd be dead. So if you think about it, the pain is just saying to you, hey, look, there's something wrong. And what I would do is, you know, drink it away, or, you know, I mean, you know, any number of ego-boosting, you know, behaviors that I would do, you know, to make the pain go away. And the list is endless. And the pain never really went away. All I ended up being was exhausted and dead broke. And it really came off. It was still there anyway. Huh?
Yeah, and more pissed off.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of that cycle, you're extremely angry and depressed and all of that stuff. And it never worked. Ever worked.
It doesn't work. And yet we continue to do it again. Here's a better analogy. This is the best one. So you go out and you start your car, okay? And your car doesn't start, okay? Your car doesn't start. So the most common thing would be, okay, it's the battery, right? And so you change the battery in the car, and you go to start it again, and the car still doesn't start. I changed the battery again, and I'll change it again, and I changed it again, and I changed it again. The battery's not the problem, but I kept changing the battery. Who does that? Who does that? Why would you do that? That's what I was doing. I was like, listen, I have a problem. I think this is what's going to fix it, and that could happen, and we try. That's what we do. We try. Hey, look, drugs and alcohol, that's going to fix the problem. And it didn't fix the problem, and here I am the next day, my car doesn't start, and I'm going to get another battery. Makes no sense.
you know something, Joe? I'm really, really glad that you were on this morning. I'm really glad that you're part of, of course, Rockies in Recovery, and being on Waking Up Blessed and hearing your message, and the message of hope. You know, we're actually down to less than 3 minutes, and, you know, this has been an incredible show. I felt like I was on with you for five. And so, you know, for a 30-minute show to feel like it's five for me is an incredible thing, too. So it was a great show. Thank you for being on. And listen, real quick, let people know where they can find. We really didn't get into the music part of it. I want to do that the next time you come on. But let people know where they can find you online for your music.
Okay, cool. I have a few Facebook pages. Joseph Drummer at Facebook.com. And I also have a new Stones tribute band that's going to be a national band. We're just coming out of the gate with that, and that's at www.stonesclones.com. We might be in a town near you really soon. And, you know, I do a lot of local stuff here in Vero Beach and, you know, stuff with you guys and Rockers in Recovery. But, yeah, it's Joseph Drummer at Facebook.com, stonesclones.com. And there's a Facebook page for the Stones Clones also. That's what we have going on right now. We just finished a recording of 8 songs. So on the website, you should be able to find the link to those songs. They came out really good. And yeah, man, that's what I have going on, you know. Hey, John, listen, buddy, I'm really glad that we talked today. And let's stay in touch. I love you, man. And my prayers to Lori. Everything's going to be fine. But you know, if you ever need anything, call me anytime, day or night, okay?
I appreciate that, bro, in a big way. We love you guys. And much appreciated hearing that. It's always good to hear that you have support and people that love and care about you. And we love you back, brother. So we'll definitely be talking soon.
Okay, great.
All right.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. There you go. Waking Up Blessed with Joseph Antonelli. My name is John Hollis. I'm the host of Waking Up Blessed, part of Rockers in Recovery, one of the co-founders. We started in 2008, and you can check out more information on Rockers in Recovery and Waking Up Blessed, the radio show, at rockersinrecovery.com, at Facebook, Rockers in Recovery, and, of course, Instagram, and you got all the rest of the social media platforms. Check them out. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today and making my day a blessed day to move forward and plugging in and getting a message of hope from Joseph Antonelli. And much love to you guys. And we're going to do a song on the way out. It's called October Skies, and it was done, written and performed, of course, by our friend Mitz. So if you go to M-I-Z, at M-I-Z Music on Facebook, you can check out Mitz, and it's called October Skies. He's a great writer, great inspiration of hope through music. Check out Mitz, October Skies. And, of course, you guys have a blessed day. Talk to you tomorrow.
Oh, on back to you, baby. I keep crawling back to you, baby, every time.
Rockers in Recovery Radio is based on opinion only and is not meant to treat or diagnose any health or mental health issue of any kind. If you feel you need help for any health-related issues, please contact a physician or mental health professional. The opinions expressed by our guests are not necessarily those of Rockers in Recovery.